right, well, I think we've got a quorum, so we can get started. And I realized at about 5 this afternoon that we didn't do a roll call last night, but the minute taker got it all, but we can do one tonight. Mr. Conway?
Yes.
Here.
Mr. Dar?
Here.
Mr. White Kemper?
Here.
Kim?
Here.
And?
Greg.
I'm sorry, I'm so tired. I'm sitting here processing on first name last name.
A present in the category.
Yes, thank you.
And I did not receive last night's minutes.
No. No.
Just kidding.
Yeah, okay. We do need to approve the agenda and any changes, additions, corrections. If not, can we approve it?
Make a motion to approve the agenda as stated.
I will second.
In favor?
Aye.
Okay, great. Okay, no minutes to approve. So we sort of decided last night that our goal for our 2 hours this evening is to go through our recommendations for each utility and the general or global recommendations that have been put together. Thank you all for pulling this stuff together so quickly today and getting it around to everybody. Does everybody have copies of everything? And Greg, would you mind just updating what you mentioned to me when I got here?
Sure. I grabbed the wrong version. I forgot we did one last correction for stormwater back in early February, so Bill reminded me of that. So I'll be correcting the stormwater in the morning and reissuing it back to the city and Tracy.
Okay.
But not a significant change, but there is a few changes that are noteworthy.
Okay. So I thought that we could just go through a utility at a time and run through what we've got in them. Thanks everybody for organizing them by functional recommendations and policy and funding recommendations. And I think if we use sort of a coding system to note any that we might want to move over to global, as well as note any things we decide to make changes on. But I'm hopeful that we're pretty close, and I also don't think we have enough time tonight to do a lot of wordsmithing, copy editing. So let's focus on the substantive stuff and making sure we've got things in the categories we want them in. Is that all right?
Sounds good.
So.
Okay. So in response to some conversation that Bill and I have been having today, let's go through each utility and finish with the global one. Does that make sense? Okay, great. Chronologically, let's just start with stormwater, street, sewer, electric. And everybody okay with the drafter sort of walking us through the conversation?
Sure.
Thank you.
Well, the first thing I listed was I pulled up a global that we were uncertain, and I think Bill answered again too in this sewer about a utility advisory board, so I think that should go in global.
Okay.
And away from the, because it's duplicated in storm.
Yeah, I think it's mentioned in a couple.
And regulars in stormwater and sewers recommended. And then when I looked through this and I looked through the recommendations, I realized that we didn't have a little bit of the financial narrative. The recommendations by themselves look odd.
Right.
So I left a little bit of the tone on the financial from the narrative, really wanting to capture their current costs and revenue and projected revenue and how much shortfall that they have to go to CDIP. And then before we get into the recommendations, it really tries to try to bring more revenue back into your initial revenue into the utility.
Okay.
How do we want to, and we'll step back just a second, how do we want to title each section?
I guess I was just thinking by the title of the utility,
yeah,
but consistently, so it might be utility colon stormwater. That makes sense.
Yeah, because we're
working in different formats, but we'll.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was just looking at that for basic things like.
Yeah. So
making sure our titling of subsections were consistent and such also.
Right.
It's probably sufficient for the 18th. Or do we think we need to?
Yeah, it's fine.
I'd say so.
Well, the first recommendation for financials was to explore, instead of a fixed fee, tiered fee arrangement, or not, it's not actually not tiered, but go to a per square foot arrangement for stormwater, so impervious surface calculation, thinking that would be more fair than just a fixed fee for each property, similar to the way commercial and industrial properties are calculated. So, and then the second was to some of this has changed, but basically to try to provide more equity in the way the rate is charged. I think this comes back to the master metering concern. Is that right, Bill? Number two, to your knowledge.
No, it's based on impervious area.
Well, the first one is impervious, but the second is basically trying to get more consistency in billing and collected revenue. I think we were concerned that some of the revenue is not being collected.
No, it's to get away from associated stormwater charge to the meter, not necessarily mesh meter, but any meter.
To the property.
Yes.
And the other thing we talked about is that the fee could go to a quarterly basis, particularly for larger properties, versus paying a monthly fee. That was basically that recommendation. And that was just to make it easier for payment. The fourth one had to do with about seeking advice on looking at the possibility of bonding work for the capital improvement, paying back through rate for the backlog of projects in the CIP for stormwater. And the fifth one is in conjunction with that. Six, I'm trying to remember what we had on that one that was related to an issuance of revenue bonds for the utility. Similar. Number seven was to recommend a cost of services study at least every 5 years and review rate at that time. And the last one.
Are they already doing that, John?
What's that?
Stormwater utility cost of service study every 5 years?
We try to. I'm not guaranteeing we do it every time. We try to get every 5 years.
And the last one has to do with the fact that that neighborhood districts could actually create their own improvements through a neighborhood improvement district if they wanted to. Or that recommendation, I think, was more of a statement that that's available to a community or a neighborhood if they want to invest in that to improve their property value. Anybody recall anything we missed on the financials?
We did good there.
On the functional recommendations, I think we had a long list of items related to technology. GIS, LiDAR, collection of rainwater through a sampling system, and asking for probably increased or ongoing engineering support for the stormwater utility in a more formal manner. Number two is we actually didn't talk about this in, when we first drafted this, but Bill had noted it in the sewer, which we talked about the fact that the utility, both storm water and sewer, should do the hydraulic analysis, and so I added it here at the stormwater section. And then last section was a suggested grading or evaluation system to help prioritize the CIP in a more open and transparent manner. Like I said, I've got to go through, and there's a few things that we need to correct, and we talked about that. Probably the biggest one is that reversion in item two.
Item two of the policy section.
Policy, yeah.
Yeah.
How did we end that? We just took out number one and then just two and three?
No, I believe we left two, but we took out the reference to the reversion.
Number two.
Number one.
Yeah, number one just got scratched, right?
Right. Is that your recollection, Bill?
Yeah, number two became number one.
Yeah.
Number three became number two.
Okay. So we're taking out require mandatory reversion.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to go back to the version that was in February. Well, we made those changes, and I'll make the noted changes in this document recently.
I just said not to copy edit, but the term ratee is not one that I'm wondering if we should decide right now on some consistent ways to refer to.
No, it just needs to say rate.
So oh, that's just a.
At the present time, the stormwater rate is only being built.
Okay.
Thank
you.
No, well, let's back up now. What are you trying to say there, Greg?
Because it should be ratee. It's actually should be customer.
Customer.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right. And there's at the first sentence there, you need a space there. Storm water rate should.
The last suggestion, number three, on the functional recommendation, is it necessary to say that these suggested assessment criteria are in no particular order? And I only say that because of the older versus newer projects got shuffled down two-thirds of the way down.
Oh, yeah.
Higher up.
I could add that for easy, but not in priority order.
So not in saying. Any particular order, but it would be nice if that was higher up. I'm just thinking of Katrina and Hagen.
Well, we could easily do that.
The objective grading system for CIP projects was in looking ahead to the streets. I broke it out as a global. I mean, each utility has its own CIP, but I'm almost willing to just leave it.
It's separate.
It's a little different utility. Yeah, their list of assessment criteria is going to vary.
Specific, yeah. A little bit different.
But
I could actually take number two from the streets global and put it back into the specific street specific. Because it does have some particular street.
Right. But we could also add to the global a general statement that says taking a report card approach to assessing and grading.
I
other comments on stormwater? Or do we want to go ahead and address what was in the slightly newer version in terms of talking about it?
That's a call.
Was it just me?
This is what you noted.
Yeah, I'm registered the whole thing, but yeah.
That's what we just talked about, right?
Yeah.
That's the one thing that changed.
There was a couple, probably a few typos. We'll go back. I'll go back and pick those ones again. But yeah, you have to take a look at that. Yeah, this is the full document head, but there it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Victory.
Victory. We've done good.
Note that we're going to come back for this global.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, should I pull it out of this now, whenever you send it tomorrow?
Yeah.
The global comment? I'll just send it to you via email that you can merge into your document?
Yeah.
Okay.
I set my hand look at the streets. Can I read over your shoulder?
Which one we did?
Let's do streets next.
Streets.
So there's quite a few that we had actually pulled out, or last time we went through them, we noted as they were kind of globalish. So my first page is the global, and then I have financial and then functional. So let's just, I guess, start with the global. The first one is about annexation. It's a pretty generic statement. Value-added annexation.
Did we discuss the definition of value-added?
We did, but I don't know if we came to the conclusion of what that meant.
What are we looking at?
It just sounds good. It's a feel-good word.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were going to start with this one. Let's save the global recommendations for the end.
Yeah, I just... Yeah. Well, while we're on that, though, number two should probably be brought into the streets.
Yeah. Yes, those recommendations are specific to streets.
Yeah.
Okay.
The single issue ballot for major transportation projects, 7063, there's some of those areas that need to be fixed eventually, and they'll be very, very expensive, and we don't have money in our budget to do that, but if we had a dedicated funding source, we could do some cost sharing with MoDOT and other entities, perhaps. Continue the quarter cent capital improvements tax. Seems pretty reasonable. Cities should voice support for state fuel tax, which would incorporate local cost share programs. That was this summer. It was or early this summer. The state legislature was talking about doing this and incorporating local cost shares. Support state pilot projects, which look at mileage-based fees, as opposed, since obviously fuel is going. I actually just added that when I was
more efficient.
Yeah, I actually just added that.
How do you charge an electric vehicle?
Yeah, I know they're doing this on the East Coast. They have some pilot projects already. That mileage based is just kind of they're pilot projects, and it's volunteer based. It's not like mandatory. So you know, it's kind of on a.
Should that have its own numbers since it's a different idea than the first sentence in that recommendation?
Right, and also probably a sentence that says what we're referring to, you know, sort of with the advent or with the increase of the use of electric vehicles, we need to think ahead about.
Or just fuel efficiency.
Yeah.
More fuel efficient vehicle.
More fuel efficient.
Oh, there's, yeah, there's a lot of reasons why the fuel taxes. I mean, you can go down the list, but.
Or just make it generic and just say alternate, you know, vehicle options or yeah. fuel mileage.
Yeah, just to set it up so people will know why we were thinking about that. But,
So does that become number four?
3.5.
It's the same.
3.5.
We're trying to capture it for the same purpose, but yeah, it's two different things. So I'll break that up.
Just so it doesn't get overlooked is all I was thinking.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that at all. Number four was the only one actually that we hadn't seen before, and I actually just added that because we had talked about it, but we had never actually seen it on something. But I know John Glasscock had mentioned it being an issue as far as, I'll just read it out loud, investigate objective methodology for quantifying street deterioration due to construction traffic from start to substantial completion of individual construction projects, determine if a maintenance fee should be imposed for each project proportional to street maintenance that may be required due to construction traffic impacts.
You worded that well. We talked about that with Dave, too.
Yeah, I like it the way it's worded.
So, I mean, it's not real specific, but it just brings attention to that issue, which Public Works is having. So.
Yep.
Number 5, 6, and 7 are kind of all related. And number 5 is one essentially that I had on my last draft. Number 6 and 7, I passed out a hard copy of those on the last time we were reading about streets, but it wasn't on the one that was on the
right.
the website. Anyway, number 5 is pretty generic about the development fees. From what we've heard and the evidence that 50 cents per square foot isn't exactly adequate. It's a complicated issue. It needs to be looked at further.
I thought we had talked about getting away from the part where it says should be eliminated.
We can get into the wording of it. Yeah, let's do it. This was, I mean, we left it not having a real consensus.
Right.
Yeah. I do like the recommendation that forces it to a little separate mini task force, basically. It's got to evaluate it on its own because it is a complicated topic.
I do try to take a stab at one potential way to look at it at number 6, which has been brought up, and I know John Clark has been a proponent of this type of method of the regional traffic studies and regional type coming up with fees that has been done in parts of town.
How about instead of task force, which is means it's temporary, we just change it to more generic advisory body and then let council decide what they want to do about how that should look.
Change task force group.
Or mean a separate group, yeah, or advisory body to review these development fees.
Or that could be a consultant.
Yeah, or we could even make it more generic. The MTFI recommends further investigation or something like that, further review of the development fee structure and policies.
Did you get Mr. Newdark's suggested changes?
I've looked at those.
Glanced.
I really didn't. So which one? I think one of them was pertaining to this one.
This one here, I think.
He says, in addition, a standardized assessment should be completed of the impact each major development would have on public infrastructure. The results would then become the basis for determining developer contributions. That's just, has a bunch of issues with that statement to me. Who provides that assessment, and are we talking about the physical impacts or the financial percent of the impacts that are proportional to the development? I don't think he's really getting any more specific with that. Sure, it should be an objective assessment. I don't have any problem with that. But
is that a recommendation, or is that more of sort of background or foundational language that explains the issue?
I mean, he's, I don't know what exactly his thought behind it was. Like the theory of what, how it should work.
Well, we talked about a third party doing the traffic study and assessment.
Yeah, we talked about that, but
that also seems that sort of related to four in more, in some ways, more than five.
Well, I think four is standalone, maintenance, construction traffic. To me, when I think of traffic study, I think of traffic flow, capacity,
right.
Not maintenance.
Yeah.
Right, I was thinking about Mr. Dudark's recommendation, which is might be more of a global recommendation related to, as opposed to a streets and sidewalk, which is what we're going over right now.
I mean, I'll probably just have some bias against this, and I don't really have a strong reason. I just don't like the way it's written. I mean, so he says major developments. I mean, what's a major development? And standardized assessment, who's standardized? I mean, yes, we should, everybody should be graded equally. I think that's what I'm trying to, you know, a development fee is equal. Everybody, it's based on square footage. That's a standard assessment on each building. That's what we already have. So, I mean, a different standard assessment than we have now. And then it's like on the results would be the basis for determining developer contributions. Like, yeah, that just goes without saying. So I don't know. I mean, if we'd had him sitting here, I'm sure he could explain this and, you know, give some more direction. But to me, I just didn't see much value in this unless it's just a background is a, in theory, it should be everybody graded equal, and, you know, it should be based on, you know, you should, your fee should be based on your impacts. Yeah, I agree with that. But that's just more of a global way people are, way, you know, in theory, how it should work, not any specific.
It's not a process. It's a, it's an anticipated outcome, how it should result.
Yeah.
Well, I think you have to have a policy that addresses equity up front in order to have an equitable outcome.
This issue is a very sticky issue. It's very hard. Well, that's why I tried to be as generic as possible
with five.
With five, yeah.
But we did identify it needs to be fixed. We just kind of tabled it because we couldn't come up with a solution. But we recognize that there needs to be a solution.
Right. I think one thing that Cody that would make this a little is if we just broke it into short paragraphs. it's sort of a big chunk to read too.
Yeah.
Right, because there's the first two sentences are really set up for the recommendation. Three. Which is fine. Just, but actually, in terms of sort of burying the lead, maybe we should bring the recommendation to the top and then say we're recommending this because of these issues.
We already say it's, we recommend the city council.
Oh, you're right.
Review development fees right at the beginning. So saying at the bottom kind of repeats that.
That's fine. Yeah, I'm sorry. I was looking at these.
But it is a pretty long paragraph to read and follow.
And I think all of your explanation is important. I'm not suggesting that.
Yeah, no, if we can make it clear.
All your framing is good. Yeah. All right, so are there changes to 5 that we want to make? Substantive changes?
I don't think other than formatting.
Okay.
Are we recommending, though, that we're eliminating case-by-case negotiated fees?
That's what I'm recommending.
I don't think that's feasible. This development fees go.
I don't think you can eliminate it. You can reduce.
Bill had something
about minimize the use of negotiated fees and move toward eliminating fees.
Yeah. I'm fine with saying reduced or
minimize the use of negotiated fees.
I mean, I don't think you can get away completely because it's going to be hard to do one size fits all.
Right.
So you're going to have some cases where you'll have to negotiate. You just like to reduce that.
Right. I mean, that's then we get into the different sort of philosophies of making policy recommendations. Do you recommend the ideal, knowing that it's going to be compromised, or do you? Take a more pragmatic approach and say, we know this will be hard.
We want to go with eliminate or reduced.
I like reduce or minimize. I think, because I don't think you can get away completely, but
minimize. Yeah.
Right.
Again, these are just outlining framework of what someone could take to develop a new structured fee program that works.
Right. And I think you do a good job in your sort of setup or description of getting at the issue of what the ideal would be.
Well, and there's all different kinds of things you could come up with for the development fee based on, you could have one based on something standard, but it's standard based on the type of development going in, like the Nifong, what's that?
Boone Hospital?
Yeah, that clinic thing over there by Walgreens. Thank you, Foreman Nifong. You know, based on, maybe it's based on, obviously, zoning, square footage, number of, amount of traffic, entrances, et cetera. I mean, the 50 cents is whatever that square foot is.
It's the type of facility where that facility is located. It can't all be the same. I mean, they could be captured in it.
Yeah, you can't capture that. You can't put a... For every development, put 50 cents or whatever.
I mean, the only way you'd be able to capture it without taking more out of the street fund is you charge a high enough fee that you create a capital pool. But not every project would use all their capital pool. It would be allocated project by project based on the need. But I don't know if the development community would want that because you can have one that requires very, very little street work and roadwork investment, but they're paying on a fee basis that most of the money is not even going to be used on the project. But it will be needed somewhere else.
That's what Mr. Dudark recommends. He said that his comment was the task force could support some additional development fees for funding capital projects.
Yeah, I kind of like what he says there. That's
so he's talking about a collector fee that would be reallocated to CIP CIP
development, increasing development fees to address some capital projects.
That's what it does now. I mean, yeah, he's saying let's do some additional, but that's what this is saying too. It's saying it's not sufficient currently. But I don't know if raising the development fee itself is what needs to be done.
Right. No, I'd agree.
It may be another methodology.
Yeah, yeah, there's, yeah, I think there's a bigger consideration than just that.
Your paragraph outlines that scope in theory. Just how do you create a system that follows these concerns to be addressed?
Yeah, and that's why I was. It seemed to work, and the way it's set up is very logical with the Northeast area and that transportation plan that was done, and taking into account all the future uses, all the future improvements that need to be made in that area, and proportional for each, anticipated final build out of that whole area, what each square foot of commercial should be paying in and what each lot should be paying in. And it just looks at it as a whole approach like that. I mean, and that's one way to make sure that cities getting the money to have these kind of studies done that has, like the Northeast area transportation plan does.
So that's that.
That's my best stab at it.
I can't disagree. I don't think we're going to be able to, as a group, come up with a specific recommendation to the council to solve this issue, other than further investigation needs to be done.
Yeah. Well, it gets at the concerns from sort of across the spectrum on the issue, and it has a recommendation in it. So let's have it for the public hearing, and then see what kind of input we get from that, and what else, and revisit.
And is what Roy is saying in his bolded, underlined wording there, is that strike at the same thing we're talking about? Where he says, in addition, the standardized assessment should be completed of the impact each major development would have on public infrastructure. The results would then become the basis of determining developer contributions.
I like that too. Yeah.
I don't like the word major. I'm with Cody on that one. Then now we have to define major.
Well, but we haven't specifically talked about that, but we have talked about that there are some projects that are, sort of evidently too small to have a. So you're right that major is sort of undefined, and we certainly don't want to recommend a sort of you know it when you see it
right.
kind of recommendation. But maybe just acknowledging that defining what would be subject to that is still work that needs to be done. Where would you put that, John or Bill? And is it specific to streets? To me, that's more of a global recommendation.
Well, it's kind of gets stuck in the...
Wouldn't be enough because all of them, I mean, the utilities has some things in place to address this, but the roads is the only non-utility. So you've got to have the capital for the development to be able to take care of the work where you can't. You're not recouping anything on rate like the other utilities. So I don't know if it's global to all four categories. It's definitely applicable to roads.
Well, the issue of equity and developer contributions to their impact on infrastructure is a global issue.
Yeah. But we have already in, there's a fees collected for storm, for connection. Not storm, excuse me, sanitary.
Connection fee for sanitary. There's
connection fee for water.
Just a micro charge for water.
There's recommendations on connection fee or line extension fees on electric. And so that's counterintuitive for what this recommends, which is a different fee.
What is it a different fee, or is he simply saying we need to make sure on a regular basis that the fees are sufficient to cover the impact?
Yeah. That's why it's not necessarily capital projects, as he's referring to capital projects. If it's a connection fee for connecting to the sewer, it's to cover the cost of connecting
to the sewer,
not like some other capital project that the sewer utility wants to do. So that's why I see the difference.
Well, that's parking lot for the moment, and when we get to the globals, see if it fits somewhere as we go through those. Or make sure we've got his concept captured. If that's a recommendation that Mr. Whitekemper is addressing. All right. Six, more on six.
So is the last sentence of five leading into six? So we're at the end of the last sentence. This is from the following recommendation.
I wrote it that way, but I mean, we could scratch out that and may incorporate ideas from the following recommendation. I mean, that's what this is directed towards, generating revenue for, is the same thing as what five was, but noticing that there was a lack of funding, but...
I'd let six stand on it so it would not be tied to five.
Yeah.
It's just a recommendation to do more traffic studies.
Yeah.
Well, I would almost have this in place of you know, a uniform raise of the development fee per square foot. I think this is more objective and more equitable and more specific. But I don't say in this five to raise development fees because, like I said, there's different ways to get that money.
Right.
It's not necessarily development fees that need to be raised. Just we need to raise money.
Well,
this would essentially be a development fee, what number six is.
Right. So seven, just to go back to five for a minute, I don't have a problem with saying, in fact, I think it's an important recommendation to say that developers should cover the cost of the impact of their development. And not cost shift those costs on to the general public.
Yeah.
Yeah. We want to make the advisory group or the task force on streets a separate recommendation so it doesn't get lost, or just make sure that it's retained somewhere.
Right.
What?
Idea. Your idea for a separate street task force to look at how fees are.
Well, we're going to check out task force and call it a group or advisory board or body. I mean.
Okay. I'm paying attention to time here, so we probably.
7 is a follow up to 6. Streets and sidewalks functional. I mean, unless we want to talk about 7 some more.
Well, but the traffic study issue is sort of its own issue, isn't it? Well, okay, yeah, the large regional traffic studies is kind of a deal. But then we also talked about the smaller, what would trigger smaller development.
Well, I think that's studies. The point of if you go in the direction of having these regional, like Boone or the Northeast area. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've done all the work. They know what needs to be done. They've anticipated what the land uses are. If your land use doesn't comply with what they assumed, then you need to do a traffic study to show how it's different and how that affects your fee. But to me, there's no reason to have a traffic study in the Northeast area if you are complying with what they said you're going to be. If
right.
you're an office use in an office area, you're just, I mean,
right.
they've already said you need to do $10 a square foot for office. Then you just pay that. That makes it easy on the developer.
You,
he knows
you
what he needs to do.
Change that to a shopping center. That's going to change. That's going to force traffic studies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Change
exactly.
It, change the proposed use.
And that's essentially what that's saying.
Yep.
Where do we, or do we need to even capture that concern we talked about, where developers, future developers, get a free ride on the first ones there?
That's why this traffic study would be so good, because it takes into account all the development of the whole area and each use's proportional impact, you know,
okay.
per square foot or per lot.
We need to make sure we say that somewhere. I'm missing that in the read, or do you think it's adequate the way it is?
To hit all the fine points of this, it probably needs to be like 3 pages long.
Okay. If you're okay with it, I'm okay. Yeah, that's fine.
It is. It's a recommendation. It's not giving them policy. It's giving them a recommendation to develop that policy and relate how they do the traffic studies and apply it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a definitely valid point that's one of the
yeah,
reasons why
Tony
I'm doing
mentioned
it.
And then it came up. Seems like
the
that
first people
problem.
That are always going to pay for more.
Yeah, and I agree. I don't like that. One and two for functional, pretty self-explanatory. One and two was something that Bill had said at one point. I don't know if it had ever been formally written down, but he had talked about it a couple times. Allowing property owners is a pretty minor recommendation, but is that what you had in mind, Bill, when you had made that comment?
Yeah, did John or
I think John
Dave.
Made it.
Yeah, John mentioned that.
Snow removal.
Private
neighborhoods be able to.
Yeah, let you know, it should be in there that it's allowed.
Right.
It doesn't say that.
It does.
We don't stop it, but it, you know, people don't think it's.
Yeah, all of us were just saying adopt ordinance language that formally allow that in practice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
if
that's.
If a homeowner association wants to do it,
right.
You know, go ahead. We just need to know so we don't.
And it's. Essentially, you've got you fix a clause anyway, so if someone blows out a curb, they're going to be responsible for repairing it.
All right, sewer. So let's start on page 1 with the functional recommendations. City computer model, the sewer and stormwater system hydraulics.
I know we weren't wordsmithing here, but can I send you some language? I'll just say this real quick. Would it be better to say it as, or not better, but would it sound cleaner to say, the city endeavored to create a comprehensive wastewater collection system model, including physical and hydraulic attributes?
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
Send it to me.
Okay. Yeah, we may want to be consistent because the same recommendations in the stormwater. You could probably take reference out to stormwater because it's already in the stormwater.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I agree with that.
That's right.
So, whatever is drafted will repeat in stormwater. I mean, because they may choose to do this sewer first and then stormwater later with the same tool.
I have a formatting question. I like this format with the discussion separated and italicized and labeled. Would you be comfortable when you send me your recommendations to not change any words, but separate out, you know, like we were just talking about that five on streets seemed very long, but if that were separated out into a discussion paragraph like that, it would make
I think some of them would be readable.
Some of the challenge with that be is some of the discussions up in the narrative.
Yeah.
Right.
Where does now, where it resides now. So to do that by tomorrow might be a chore.
Yeah, so some of these, you could pull out some of
the 18th meeting.
Some of the sentences as discussion, right. But some of them are the discussion exactly.
It's up to the narrative.
You see, though, we're shooting for the 11th, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think we can work that direction, but I don't know if we can get it done. I couldn't get it done by tomorrow. Maybe, like, if we're going to go to that extent.
No, that's not what we're... I think the only thing we were doing by tomorrow at noon was all have the global recommendation.
Yeah, and I'm pulling up the one on storm surge and corrections we need to make.
And then Tuesday is when we'll have a single document, so I'm going to have to do some formatting anyway.
Yeah, the 11th.
Right. So, is that all right?
Yeah, I think that's reasonable.
Thank you. Okay. Any comments on one for either the recommendation or the discussion?
Two's really a global.
Yeah.
I had that also.
This goes with your one that you pulled out.
Right. It really ties with the water electric board too, so whether they're by itself, and there's a new one created, or stuff is added to the existing board.
Let's put that one aside until we get to the global, and then we can talk about how to address all those. Okay, so three, coordinating with MU and the county, purchase installation of an automated rain gauge system similar to the system that Springfield has. Real-time rainfall data for sewer operational actions and develop more refined historical rainfall data. That should probably
that was duplicated
period.
For storm.
Yeah. I'm okay with leaving it in sanitary. We might want to make a reference to that this is also going to benefit the stormwater utilities.
Yes.
Well, I mean, the stormwater and the sewer are under one layer right now, so... I think they look through both and see what the commonality, the recommendations, for these type of recommendations,
which are
really a functional recommendation and not a policy issue.
Right.
It could even benefit streets too, as far as flooding goes. Right.
Yeah, that's true. So, do you want to move three to global and just say this will benefit multiple utilities?
I don't know if I think it's really related. I think it should be in storm and sewer. But if Bill's right, if the information is available, it could.
You could almost just leave it in storm and make a note about sanitary and take it out of sanitary, but I'm okay with leaving it in sanitary.
Yeah, there will be some people who, for whatever reasons, only care about one.
Yeah, fine with that.
All right.
I do like the, you know, because everybody's combined on the MS4 permit on the stormwater, so having the county and the university and city combined sharing the cost of that system, the ownership of it makes good sense. Sure, installation cost.
Okay, for amend ordinance 22-262A1 to reflect a residential sewer user is the owner or occupant of any dwelling unit that is connected directly or indirectly, or who has available to the dwelling unit the city's sanitary sewer system. I get lost on that very last clause, or has available to the dwelling unit.
That's already in the ordinance now, where the ordinance defines a sewer user.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the ordinance defines a sewer user.
Right, I still don't know exactly what they mean.
Wouldn't that just be someone that doesn't have the water on or something? You're connected. You have the connection to the sanitary sewer system, but you're not using it. Doesn't mean you're
still connected to it.
Yeah, your unit's still connected to the sewer system, whether you're using water or not, right? Or it's unoccupied.
Is this more of a function you don't like how it's billed?
Well, the city's defining a sewer user as a residential sewer user as an individual water meter. And to me, it doesn't matter how you get your water, to be defined as a sewer user. That's irrelevant.
I like the way it's worded, but
they define a non-residential sewer user as having a master water meter. Which, to me, the residential sewer user is
this is
a dwelling unit, regardless of how the dwelling unit uses water.
See, you're telling us one thing, and the city's telling us another thing. I mean,
make up your mind.
Well, I mean, they're saying they take into account this, and it is equitable the way these people are metered and billed.
Well, it's not equitable, in my mind, to call a dwelling unit residential if it's got one water meter, and non-residential if it's got master water meter.
But doesn't it depend on other? I don't know.
Depends on what kind of how they're getting your water.
Yeah, it's just to distinguish the two of them.
Basically, asking to change the language so that it matches up with the practice.
Well, no.
I'm just a little hesitant to be supportive of it, but I'm not, like, vehemently against it either, so I'm just kind of indifferent, I guess. I just don't feel strongly I don't know.
Well, there's another number. Nation 3. Three on the global. This would make the customer charge proportional to the use. If the customer if the charge can be proportional to the use, you can't have residential and dwelling units in both residential and non-residential use. You gotta have every dwelling unit in the same category. You can't classify some dwelling units as residential. Some of the units is non-residential.
But the nature of how it's built and how the infrastructure serves an apartment in a high-rise versus a single-family home is different.
Well, not for a dwelling unit. A single-family home is a dwelling unit, and apartments are a dwelling unit.
Yeah.
You can't.
They're not necessarily an apple and apple, though.
Well, you can't count apartments that have master water meters as non-residential apartments. Apartments that have individual water meters as residential apartments. That's what the city's doing.
It To what impact?
And that's where I get lost.
So for example, the way our downtown zoning code currently exists, you can use any, you can use most buildings for any of those things.
Yes. It shouldn't be classified in zoning, it should be classified on use. An apartment yeah. should be classified as residential, regardless of what how it's zoned.
But if you're in at least the older buildings downtown, it can be an office one day and a residence the next.
Because there's apartments on upper floors. And
well, then you change the classification.
And yeah. retail on the lower floor.
And didn't we talk, wasn't that the same discussion we talked about some
if you,
commercial
if you got,
properties?
If you've got, if you got, if you got a building, it's apartments, it's residential. If you change it to non-residential use, it becomes non-residential use.
What if you have a home-based business?
Or still a dwelling unit. You're talking about zoning, mixing zoning with use.
No, I'm not. I understand what you're saying. I'm not. I'm just trying to... I don't understand what we get out of four as a standalone. If you want to tie it to the issues about how to charge people
for
a unit based on, then we should put those together and talk about them together. But this is we should be upfront about having that discussion.
I
can see where you charge a dwelling unit a fee. So if you've got a plex and it's on a single water meter, they're connected to the sewer, but they are contributing to the load of that sewer. And so right now what's happening is that there's a one base fee that apartment owner would pay. And that bill is not the eight people. Eight apartments wouldn't pay any of it. They'd only pay it through their rent to the... In essence, they should be paying it through their rent to the building owner.
But it's counted as non-residential.
I'm sorry?
It's classified as non-residential use. It's residential use. It's not non-residential.
It's almost like that there needs to be a commercial residential... There's a different rate structure than residential and commercial.
Or a multifamily residential or a multi-unit residential.
There could be, but I'm not proposing that, and the city's not doing it either.
Let's see. Yeah, I'm kind of confused. Let's see. Okay, so has this ever been brought up to the city?
In 2008. To 2011, the city charged the way this is proposed.
And the reasoning they changed it?
They thought you were being sued by the owner of Broadway Apartments because he didn't treat commercial property the same as they treated him.
Yeah, which is just totally different outcome than what, yeah. I don't know, Bill. I guess my issue with the whole chain of your concern about this is that I fear that what we end up with is a regressive policy rather than a progressive policy. Because, you know, if you've got 8 units in a 8,000 square foot house or apartment building, and each of those units pay, and you've got a multi-acre, $8,000 square foot mansion south of town. It's a single unit, and they'll pay once. It's an argument that ends up in a regressive fee structure.
But isn't
both of those examples are residential use. That's all I'm saying here.
But it doesn't meet equity. I mean, it basically pushes the charge up to the lowest lowest income consumer, and doesn't impact the wealthy consumer. In fact, if you do redistribute it that way, the wealthy consumer would go down.
Right.
At the the sacrifice
this,
of the
this
Lord.
This is not no. redistributing anything. There's no mention of race here. It's just use.
Yeah, but if you're trying to bring in the same amount of revenue to the utility, it should balance, has to balance out somewhere. Either that or you have to just the rate.
I'm not talking about rates. This section is not talking about rates at all. It's talking about use. Residential use is defined as in this manner. Residential use is the use of any dwelling unit, regardless of how it gets the water.
I don't disagree, but then you come back in here and one, and you're asking for a customer charge to be charged to each dwelling unit.
Isn't it the way it is now? It seems to me that the distinction is to separate the two. That you have residential, and then you'd have non-residential.
Correct.
But wasn't the discussion that we're missing some of the residential use because of the non-residential nature of the overall property? The commercial or whatever properties or with apartments in them?
Because an apartment could be listed as a commercial customer, not a residential facility.
Non-residential customer.
That's why it's almost like you need a hybrid to say it's a commercial residential facility. There's no definition for that right now, but that would be more appropriate where there's a rate structure for that type of business.
Yeah, or move sewer definitions completely out of water and charge by the toilet.
We talked about counting toilets, didn't we? Facetiously.
I'm not facetious. That Boone County knows how many bathrooms there are in every building in this county.
That's not justified.
What's not justified?
Charging by the toilet.
How is that different than charging by the unit? You'd actually end up with something more equitable if you charged by the toilet, because the 8,000 square foot single family house probably has 10 or 12.
Well, I guess you'd have to charge by how many people live there.
No, that you can't do, because we don't know that.
Yeah, then you have to know how many people are in the house and do they use all the toilets.
Well, the little old lady that lives in a big house all by herself now.
Maybe we don't get so. I understand where you're coming from, Bill. Maybe it's not be provide such a specific recommendation to the city that make it more general. Look into this and to bring more equity throughout.
This is
an issue that needs to be clarified.
This is general. A dwelling unit is residential.
But it's a different residential unit than a single family home.
No, it's a different size, but a single family home is a residential unit, an apartment is a residential unit.
Can I suggest, because I need to leave a little early, that we table this and see if we can get through some more?
Yeah.
Do you mind?
Nope.
Is that okay, Bill?
Sure.
Just because I want to see some of the ones coming up.
Five, rehabilitate or replace up to 2% of the sewer system annually.
Typical design life is 100 years, and I thought we had said 1%, which would
talk about
well 1%. In line with that. Did we change that, or is there a reason
it was
why it was up to 2%?
We talked 1% or 2%, and I don't think we had, I thought about 2%, but 2% would...
I thought Dave...
1% is what's currently being funded.
Oh, maybe that was in an ideal
with
world,
it's about
Dave,
to
and they're losing ground.
Right.
Well, they're at the rate they want to be at, but the funding is up in the next couple of years. And then they go back to what they were at, which is like
2%.
It does say up to. It doesn't say just
2%. I don't have a problem. I just wonder why
go
we
higher
decided.
Than 2%, but up to 2% of the system. I mean, so 1 year could be 1%, next year 1.5%.
I thought Dave said that he liked what his current funding was. He thought he was at progressing at the rate we should be progressing at, which was at about 1%, 700 miles a year, or whatever, or 700 miles is what we have in the system, so 7 miles a year.
What, instead of up to 2, how about a minimum of 1%?
That'd be a good way to do it.
I'd love to do 2.
The guarantees, at least you're going to go through full replacement every 100 years.
Okay, so help me out here. So it's 1% of what?
Of current
sewer line.
Sewer installed infrastructure. Length is 1% of their. That's a good question. Is it 1% of the asset value? Or 1% of the linear? I think when Dave talked about it, he talked about linear feet of installed
sewer system.
So I think it should be saying.
It says linear. It's a sewer system.
Yes.
And so the value of sewer system.
Right, but someone could construe that as value. Yeah.
System, so they might think of it as a
right.
entity as opposed to the physical system.
1% of the pipe in a sewer system?
Mm-hmm. Physical
yeah.
system.
Yeah, that'd be great. Physical system.
I mean, that would also include manholes and other, within the part of the linear installed system.
1% of the appurtenances?
Pipe and appurtenances, I think, is appropriate.
As an aside, remind me
it's
to
not replacing the plant.
Mention before.
And one can assume that the sewer system includes the plant.
Or sewer
it
does. Pipe. Or sewer manhole cover broken.
The collection system.
Six, the city require a point of sale inspection of all property connected to the sewer to identify sources of inflow and infiltration. I made a note on that that there should be some sort of mechanism in the point of sale inspection that considers how recently that's been done and remediated, and whether and that we might reframe it as study that looks at the what it would cost the city to staff point of sale inspections on all properties. And
would that be the city, or would that be the obligation of a third
property
party,
owner?
The property owner, bring a plumber in, or pay the city, or whatever the.
So we just go like onto the inspection.
Yeah, just like a regular inspection.
Which ought to be some kind of a time limit on it, every 10 years or.
But inspections aren't required for all property sales. So you would force an inspection and make it mandatory, that requirement.
And do we want
if it's
going to have a lien, but somebody's buying a property in cash,
right,
and they're buying it as is, they don't want to have inspections, they have the right to do that. Generally, inspections are pulled in because the lender
mortgage
is requiring that, and they're done.
I thought we talked about something that, and I don't know if this would have any traction with anybody, but I thought having the city say the property owner is responsible and having that on any sale, it being documented, you know, that the seller is the seller is responsible for any illicit connections, but it's not an enforceable point of sale inspection that, you know, buy at your own risk or whatever, you know. I don't really want to put this point of sale inspection in. That's
there wouldn't be any responsibility assigned by the inspector.
The realtors aren't going to like this at all.
No.
I mean, personally, I don't really like it that much either.
Yeah, it's one way to reduce I&I.
I like it. Did we talk about needing to define what we want inspected? I mean, I&I, but are we just talking downspouts and sump pumps? We're not talking like condition of pipes, right?
Well, that would be.
You could include pipes.
Because that's what
that
includes right now.
Expensive.
Yeah.
It could be very expensive.
Yeah.
You have a camera, the.
And time consuming.
Reducing I&I is going to be expensive.
I thought it was more in just in line with the. To help capture more properties than they're doing with the smoke testing and whatnot.
I'd almost rather have the city have a source of funds, just like they state with the system replacement, that they could do a certain percentage of properties annually inspecting them. You know, they could do it based on their analysis on where they think the greatest need is. Because you know, you could acquire this on a home that's 2 years old, it's built brand new. That
well, depends on how you write your policy.
Wouldn't have any,
yeah.
It depends on how you write your policy.
To do it for that facility versus an older building that.
Well, you can write your policy how you want to write it.
Yeah, I think.
Define it. It would include homes less than 10 years old.
The downspouts and sumps are almost a one and done.
Mm-hmm. Now, sumps can be reconnected. Which oftentimes they are.
Yeah. I'm
trying to think, where do you, in the sale of the property, where do you inject this requirement? Is it.
Is it with the, well, if there's a mortgage, it's, what's the form you sign?
The lender's not going
to. Yeah, but then the lender's got to.
You have to put
not
on
the lender, what's a disclosure? That's what I'm
That's thinking. A disclosure on your sale of the property.
Right. Are those localized?
But again, it's an enforcement issue, so if someone doesn't do it, what's the trigger to force them to do it? If the lender's not making them do it.
Well, if it's on.
They don't need it for their liability request.
If it's on the disclosure form and there's a problem, you can sue who you bought
Correct.
From.
Can you handle it when they go to the utility to change, to put the utilities in their name?
Yeah, if we're billing the customer charge to the owner of the property, the owner of the property will make sure that the customer charge is taken out of his name when he sells the property and put in the new customer's name. And that's who would be responsible for
again,
any violations.
I mean, that customer could be moved out of state. And
the new customer?
No, the person that sold it could be gone. And then
you wouldn't be looking.
I&I or liability there, I mean.
You wouldn't be looking at the old customer, you'd be looking at the present customer.
Yeah, then you'd be shifting the. Point of sale inspection would
buyer.
Really be a post sale inspection, mm-hmm. and it'd be on the new owner, which mm-hmm. I would be fine with that. But
how do you? Where do you? I'm not saying how this gets in place. How are you going to get this on the every mortgage company's disclosure form?
No, and how do we do it now, John?
Companies
you.
Out of state.
You send notices to some customers about checking for their illegal connections? Or you,
yeah,
was
we
that
do
a one time
testing
deal?
And we look at it.
But there's no, but just for the area that you're doing?
Everything. You know, what you would end up doing, the easiest I would think, would be when somebody come in and turned off their utilities, are you selling the house? It's a home. You know, if we know it's a single family residence, why are you turning them off? You're going to ask the question, you know, did you sell the house? That would trigger, you know, where you need this inspection.
Before you can turn them off?
Well, or before you can turn them on, either way. Who would do it? That's a decision. That would be the trigger. That's how you would know.
Because usually you wouldn't transfer utilities until the day of the sale.
Let's see, how do, even in the ongoing I&I work and so on, what gives the city the right to go upon that property?
We don't. We do it from the main.
Okay.
And we see it come out of the stack.
Right. Okay.
But then you contact the property owner.
What if we're
or comes out their gutters or
the courts have back cities from serving search warrants to go in and inspect the property if they're connected to the sewer.
I mean,
we're required by
you
law
can
not to
search
have
warrant.
A
yeah.
combined sewer.
Right.
You know. Our permit does not allow combined sewer. So.
I mean, they're not supposed to have the connections. The city's working on it. We've got what sounds like a fairly simple way to implement the process to try to get a jump on some of this I&I stuff ahead of the smoke test. I don't, you know, you just, I mean, once the information's out there, it's going to get around, or how they print it on their utility bill once or something, you know, just to give people a heads up. I don't know that. I think we're making it too hard.
How about a recommendation that looks at developing a program to encourage inflow and infiltration? I mean, I would rather have a recommendation that incentivizes people to take care of that issue rather than, I mean, not just the real estate community is going to be freaked out. Imagine when you pop by a house and the utilities turn on, and it's like, oh, and here's another $10,000.
If you look down the next one, number 7, we've already got ordinances that say make it against the ordinance to have defective sewers, sump pumps, and that and incentivize enough people to disconnect them.
Well, I am not even sure the lot is fit. There are many people who know that they have a problem.
You're probably correct.
Yeah.
And then suddenly they realize they have a $10,000 fix.
Well, it's not costly if it's just downspouts and sumps. Right?
And what you'd end up doing is if they did have it, you know, they come to you and we would set up some type of payment system, or if they'd set up a schedule for when they would have it fixed. I mean, they might have to go expend it immediately, but they would have to tell us we will have it fixed the next amount of time. I mean, at least that way it's identified.
Right.
You know it's out there.
And these
So we have I&I, and this house to be sold, and so we tell the seller and the buyer that you don't have a deal until you fix the sewer.
No, this wouldn't have anything to do with the sale.
I think at the point you put the utilities in your name. Or you do it for any house, whenever the law was changed in 67 or whenever that was.
They'll want to put money in escrow because they have an unknown of what this could cost them.
Well, and there are a lot of people with utilities in their names that don't own their residential unit.
Certainly any property built prior to the ordinance that made that, so that, you know, builders weren't supposed to have those connected to the sewer system anymore.
The city requires the connection to be inspected now for demolition. It's not much difference in selling a house and down on the house.
You know, the problem is when it's a private common collector, it's hard to know.
Are there still any common collectors?
Private common collectors? I know where there's one for sure.
There's lots of them.
There's certainly not a system in place to penalize people that aren't complying with.
I don't think we're actively trying to penalize people. We're trying to identify things.
That's right.
We would like them identified, problems, and so we know what's existing, because we can't get around all of them.
I just don't know the point of sale is the right trigger to do that. Because it's already a complicated financial transaction, and you add more complexity to it, it's going to make it even worse. Yeah.
Well, I like the idea, but because it's going to accelerate the getting at the I&I. It's just another means to get after that problem.
It's an unbiased trigger that the city can use.
Yeah.
They can't say, well, you picked on me because
right.
I live in this neighborhood or you don't like me. You, the owner pulled the trigger.
I mean, on a house built prior to 75 or whatever, I know some connections were made even after the ordinance was changed. So maybe you say 1980 or pre-1980 or something.
Well, I've mentioned before, we've got sump pumps in new houses.
Oh, right. But they surely wouldn't be connected to the
sanitary sewer.
Sanitary sewer.
Yes, they are.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
You ever heard of Murphy's Law?
Yeah. But certainly if it's been verified once.
Water goes away, it's all good. Yeah.
Okay, so what are we going to do with this one?
I think you need some level of inspection for non-private property should be administered, but I don't know that the point of sale is that.
How about this? How about this? The city require an inspection of all property connected to the city's sewer system to identify sources of INI. For example, at the point of sale, the city should consider policy that will, you know, generate these inspections being done.
Does this, and the city, none of the city folks at customers' request would come out and just check downspouts, would they?
Well, if you have a rental property, that's part of the inspection process, the rental inspection process.
You'd probably go out and do a smoke test.
No, yes. No, it's not.
They want to know.
Yes, it is. They check your downspouts to make sure they're going where they're supposed to be going.
And
you're supposed to. It's not a smoke test, but they definitely check to make sure your stuff is hooked up and doing what it's supposed to be doing.
I'm glad to hear that.
I'm sorry?
I'm glad to hear that. I proposed that, but when I left, they weren't doing that.
That's a voluntary request, and that doesn't, does that come with a fee?
Rental property does. Mm-hmm.
It's no, rental property inspections aren't voluntary.
Is there a fee?
$100 apartment. Approximately $7,500.
Oh, you're talking about, that's the, I know what you're talking about there. That's
maintenance code. Property maintenance code, inspection.
What's the department called?
Office of Neighborhood Services.
Yeah, and that's,
that's another trigger that can be used.
Right.
Talked about that and it got nixed, didn't it?
But that doesn't.
Adding
that
a
doesn't,
rental inspection thing.
Was it for this issue? I thought it was for something else.
That doesn't treat owner occupied property the same as non owner occupied property.
Right. Okay.
But there's other cities using this type. Method of identifying an eye.
Mm-hmm. Maybe the recommendation is not to be telling them exactly what to do, but be more recommended a methodology
to be developed
and implemented to deal with INI or private property. You know, whether it's the point of sale or it's the transfer of utilities or some other trigger that would, or the calendar, that something should be done, or some way to offer it up as a service. I can see where you could actually pay an extra deposit for your utilities, and part of that is you get your deposit back once you have an inspection made.
Right.
And if you don't have it made, then the city can come and do it and take that out of the deposit. And that's not going to impact the whole property sale and everything else. That's just a deposit would have to be collected at a change of utility service.
That's a good idea.
But then you're making it punitive up front, like, because I know that mine doesn't have illegal connections, and I'm not going to want to put money up for it.
Correct.
So, and then have to hassle with that deal, you know, paying it and getting it back.
And if you got rental property, it's going to be constantly flipping. It's going to be.
And it's not punitive already if they find illegal connections. They just ask you to have it taken care of. But there's no, and I don't mean this to be insulting, but there's no real follow-up per se, and certainly nothing punitive that takes place if you just never do it, is there?
What's that?
If you find it and you tell us to do it, we never get around to disconnecting our downspouts. You do?
Because it's illicit. You're putting stormwater in, knowingly putting in the system to make it a mice.
So you ask the homeowner a few times.
We always try to work with them, pay for part of it, or get them to do it. But if they won't do it, yes, we'll take them to court.
But I'm
about saying, as a condition of being a new sewer user, you're required to have it properly inspected.
Yeah, right.
Anything to do with sale.
Yeah, I like that better than saying.
When a new sewer user comes in to.
But how often, if one was done last year, do you
know? Well, yeah,
another
it'd
one?
Be 10 years. In my opinion, 10 years.
If you've got one that's been done within the last, say, 5 years.
A new user must provide a certificate that the property has been inspected within the last 10 years.
Right. I think that's more workable. puts the burden on either a new renter or a new buyer.
Mm-hmm. I don't like the
deposit. So it would just be renters in single family units? I'm thinking about my 18-year-old son in an old house in an apartment on University Avenue.
You got to tie it to the owner.
In his name.
I think you have to tie it to the owner.
Yeah.
It's the owner's responsibility.
But you don't turn it on.
Well, and when they... Oh, I see what you're saying. So the landlord, if he would never have utilities in his name, would never be subject.
If you establish a customer charge, it's billed to the owner. Yeah, the owner's name.
Yeah, I think that could be worked out. I mean, maybe it's already been done within the last 10 years.
Well, if it was, the city had a record of it.
I think that it's going to be complicated to figure out how to effectively trigger this across many different situations.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions that aren't pinned down.
Right, which is why I like Greg's idea of making it more generic, develop a methodology to trigger I&I inspections.
Well, we're doing that. We've been doing that for the last 7 or 8 years and haven't significantly reduced I&I.
I mean, they're going, what we've done, Flat Range Watershed?
They've done.
Yeah, we're in county.
Oh, right. I knew that.
Well, but a recommendation that would be hard to operationalize isn't a solution to it taking a long time to develop a methodology.
And maybe that's through rate requests, you say we're going to do X number, we're going to have to do X number of inspections a year, and they're going to be.
Sounds like
the city just basically it pays for it through rate recovery. Do so much a year.
It sounds like from John that it sounds like they've kind of already got process of.
Well, we don't have a
system in place.
We contracted out. You know, if we were going to do that, we'd want to set get our own crew and start in.
But you need to have a rate adjustment
crew doing that
to recover that. That's the easy button for the sewer user. They don't have to schedule anything. They don't have to worry about it. And if they find out that they've got some fixes to make, that's where they would have to make some corrective action.
That makes.
I kind of look at that. You know, I remember it's been a long time ago, but I had back when MediaCom was going around and checking for leaks on their cable system, and you know they found some lost noise of mine and. So we've got to fix these things, you know, so.
But aren't we then just recommending something that's already happening? Because they're going, you know, neighborhood by neighborhood with the smoke testing already, and now we're saying do that same thing, but look, I mean, they're already doing that. It's just that it's not happening.
It just accelerates your program.
Fast enough. And so this is another way to just try to capture some more.
I kind of envision you get a notice in the mail that says your house will be inspected for I&I on this date, you know, and. You can be present or not present. And
I mean, but they're doing that. Goes door to door.
But
it just takes
so
long.
The policy is you're going to do a certain percentage or a year or a number a year in order to help reduce residential I&I addition. I mean, there's lots of sources of I&I in addition to, you know, the residential properties, not just the pipe itself.
Well, I've got to go, but I'm on record as saying we keep that.
This wasn't geared towards
residential.
It's any property. It just wasn't pointed toward residential property.
Yeah.
It's any property.
Right. I would be comfortable if we make the point of sale inspection an example of a trigger. But not necessarily the exclusive way to do it.
I can work on it.
Okay. All right. 7, city assumes responsibility for all connection points with the public sewer, as well as responsibility for any portion of the private sewer, lateral, located within a public right-of-way or within a dedicated sewer easement.
That's where the majority of I&I is in the system at.
I'm sorry?
That's where the majority of I&I is in the system.
Is that discussion of the connection point, your connection? We had a good discussion. I remember we talked about that your connection could be in your neighbor's front yard.
Right.
And why would the homeowner think that that would be his or her responsibility? Yeah. But if we went to a easement line in their on their property into the defining point,
you're responsible for your sewer on your property.
Right.
Right. From the easement line to your physical property.
I'm fine with this one.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. I'm okay with it.
Number eight. City, yeah, I like it too. The city resume investigating and rehabilitating sewers in the I&I pilot study area, identified in a staff report from 2010 to determine repairs that need to be achieved to meet the city's stated goals of eliminating all wet weather basement backups and sanitary sewer overflows and reduce the ratio between the average wet weather flow to the average dry weather flow to three to one or less.
Basin D was the first basin the city investigated. Mm-hmm. And they moved on because they declared, like George Bush, he raised a flag and said, we succeeded here. Last July 3rd, the rainfall demonstrated they haven't succeeded there. Those people had overflowing manholes, basin backups.
Yeah, the rain on the 3rd was pretty extraordinary.
It's 5 inches.
Yeah, pretty short order.
Yeah, in less than 24 hours, right?
I don't know if that's one of those 100-plus year rainfalls. I don't know if you can design and fix it to that point.
They're going to be more and more common.
Well, there will be folks in Florida who know today. Is this really not happening?
No. City's done amazing deed.
Well, we're done with them. Our stuff, the private stuff is still out there. Laterals and those things have not been.
What's your homeowner's responsibility?
Yeah.
What it does is,
yeah. They were sure something done about that.
Of course, if they take responsibility to the easement line.
Right, that's what I was just going to ask, if 7 would impact 8.
Yeah, yes. If you take 7, it could cause more work to do than 8.
On 8.
Well, if it's true, yeah, I'm okay with keeping it.
I don't know if it's achievable to the July 3rd rain, but
there's several rains.
But it's you got to pick some rain event and say this is what you're designed to, and it might not be that one. It might be a percentage of that or something slightly less, because we've had a couple more in the last 5 years that are pretty significant like this. But will they happen again?
Yes.
Probably.
Maybe, maybe not.
So 9, city implement a backflow prevention program that would provide private assistance. Okay, we've talked a lot about this one.
I think I'm good with it. I thought we were referencing Dave's report. Because he had specifics in there.
Yeah.
Right. Would you mind putting that reference back in, Bill?
Going for
it. Okay. Policy funding recommendations. City assess a customer charge to the owner of each residential dwelling unit and each non-residential unit where city sewer service is provided.
This ties into the other one.
Yep.
I think this should be worded the same way the electric one was.
And would that be A through D, Corey? Also.
Cody.
Cody, sorry.
Yeah, all of them. Whatever. Evaluate whether a sewer customer charge based on the following parameters is more equitable than the present meter-based sewer minimum charge or something like that. And then suggested areas of investigation in A, B, C, D.
We want to make sure it's equitable. We're not putting a burden on the lower income people.
How do you measure that burden?
Well, good question. But I mean, it's like your analogy, for example, a single bedroom apartment versus an 8,000 square foot house with multiple bathrooms and multiple drains versus a single bathroom.
Right
they're
now.
Not the same.
I think it's pretty easy to measure. It's about the ratio of cost to income. It's like the housing cost.
Could go based on square footage, because the smaller dwelling and apartment is going to be a lot larger square footage. That doesn't really equate exactly to water use and sewage use, but.
I wonder if we do have good data on the square footage of multifamily residential units, particularly in older buildings.
We'll be on a stormwater charge now. Stormwater charge now has got increments less than 750 square foot and 751 to.
By unit?
Yes.
I can see
right now each unit is receiving a stormwater charge.
A tier rate based on square footage. Or number of bathrooms, if we know the number of bathrooms.
Where does your data come from, Mr. Glasscock?
Pardon?
Where does your data come from for the stormwater assessment?
It's based on the roof area of the house, basically. They go over and measure the house. It's not based on the unit.
For apartments,
for commercial, it's per 100 square foot.
Right.
That's based on the apartment size. Less than 750 square foot is the lowest tier.
Yeah, so
that's for a house.
Well, for maybe it's for apartment
roof
for a dwelling unit.
I don't know of any dwelling unit building. I'll go back and look at it. But I know for residential, we've got it broken out into four tiers, I believe.
Based on the square footage.
And then there's a commercial.
Yes.
But it's not per unit, it's the area of the outside of the house.
The customer charge comes out of the cost system.
The stormwater charge goes to the tenant now, to the occupant in the apartment.
Why wouldn't we recommend the cost of service study
about it? It's been so long since we looked at that.
Why wouldn't they follow? I mean, because if we recommend a rate change, the cost of service has to be analyzed to see if you're collecting a fee across. These other properties will rate need to be adjusted to still bring in the same amount of revenue. Because the idea is not to draw more revenue in, it's to make it equitable.
Well now the.
Wouldn't be revenue neutral.
Yeah. Now the sewer base charge is the same for all dwelling units, whether it's an apartment or a house. But I agree it should be less for a smaller dwelling unit. And more for a larger dwelling unit. It seems like the way you do that would be on square footage of the unit.
Right, and my question is, do we know the square footage, do we consistently know, so that you can have a policy to do that, you have to have consistent data, the square footage of every unit? I'm thinking about.
Well, now the stormwater charge for residential is divided into four tiers, with 750 being the lowest. I think 2,000 is the highest. 2,000 square foot, and there's two middle tiers. So you'd have each dwelling unit now is divided into four categories. Four sizes.
But, right, but that's not quite what I'm asking. I'm asking about whether we have consistent information about the size of every rental dwelling unit in Columbia, and I don't think we do.
Yes, you do. You're sending a stormwater charge to the occupant of every apartment at the present time based on the size of the apartment.
So then my question is, where is the data that is the measurement of every apartment dwelling unit?
Well, I don't know where the data is, but they send each apartment dwelling unit a bill based on the size of the dwelling unit.
Just for stormwater.
For stormwater.
Which is an impervious surface calculation, which is different.
No, not for residential. Residential is based on the size of the dwelling unit.
I understood Mr. Glasscock to just say they do it based on the measurement of the roof.
An apartment would be a commercial property?
The commercial property is the impervious area. The residential property
is based on the size of the dwelling unit. Between 750 and 1,200 square feet, you're in this tier.
Yes.
So between 12 and 1650, right. You're in this
the
tier.
Roof area is as if it was a flat roof.
And then the roof area, the impervious area, is going to do a lot of residential.
Doo-dah.
What was the, I mean, I was following you about the specifics, but what were we trying to get at a point for the electric? With the square footage of the units. That isn't.
If you had a graduated cost structure based on the size of the dwelling unit.
For the electric, and that's how?
No, for the sewer.
I thought we were done with sewer.
No.
Well, if
oh, well, no, the sewer, yeah.
If there's a system for stormwater, why wouldn't we just apply it to sewer?
You could, if you're going to go on the square footage of the dwelling unit.
Yeah, I suspect that there are lots of old houses that are cut up into apartments that we don't actually know the square footage of those apartments.
I don't know why.
I think really
square
to
footage
yeah.
for sewer.
It complicates it quite a bit. So yeah, you need to break it up.
To really to get at this, the,
you got sewer
you're,
meters, or water meters.
You are not going
to every apartment. You get a single
yeah.
meter going into
well,
the
and
whole,
that yeah, that brings
apartment.
Back to the whole thing like. I don't want to recommend that specifically.
Right.
That's an area we should investigate. Let's reword this.
Right.
And I'm okay with that.
I think that premise has got to be that in order to analyze this property you're going to have your basic point of reference, you're going to have to go back and read the last cost of service study to make sure you fundamentally understand how the rates are.
Right.
Are done now, and then once you create that understanding, then you're going to have to get at Bill's point of equity and fairness and so on. Is that do you want to change the methodology and create some other?
I think it all ties together, and I agree. You really can't recommend something specific on one rate without affecting the others. So you have to tie it with a cost of service study.
Yeah, and you have to know the basic premise of how that's.
Pardon?
It wouldn't be recommending rates.
No, you're recommending a fee. A fee is part of a rate. A fee is a base charge, and you get a rate, and it's all.
Right. You're not recommending what the fee
would be. Amount
of
revenue that's drawing into the utility.
You're not recommending what the fee would be.
No, but the fee would have to be determined based on maintaining revenue neutrality,
yeah.
That you're not bringing in more revenue.
That would be the second step of once you recommend the way to do it, the method, mm-hmm. Then the city would determine the fee.
Going back and read it, Bill. It says multifamily buildings having less than 750 square feet are billed 81 cents per unit.
Per unit.
Per unit. So four units would be at 81 cents. Over that, you'd have 750 to 1,200 would be billed at 1.06 per unit. So it's per floor area.
So it's 2,000 per square foot per unit, isn't it?
And then 1250 to 2000 is 144, and in single family over 2000 is
160. I can see.
So anything more than four units would be built at per unit. If you had less than that, they would be built as single family.
I can see referring this to the consultant did the last service study. Mm-hmm. These 1A, B, C, and D.
Mm-hmm. To be addressed to provide more equity in the charge for sewer usage.
Yeah.
I'd be okay. Yes. Try to provide a specific, I think you. Create unintended consequences if we get too specific, because right. Everything has to balance.
Well, and then people will argue about the specifics of the recommendation instead of grasping the concept.
Correct. And if we're charging individual apartments for storm sewer, why wouldn't we be charging them for sewer? I could see that, right? Because you just said we're charging per unit on an apartment. Is that what you said?
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, the concepts aren't even established with the storm sewer. It could be similar to apply to sewer.
Well, we propose that storm sewer be changed to go to impervious service for residential.
Right, we did. We recommended go to impervious surface calculation, total impervious surface calculation. I recommended it.
Residential for storm sewer?
Yeah. Take them both.
Which would be more than a roof line. It would be driveways and patios.
Okay.
And three A, B, C, D would be the same process as two A, B, C, and D.
Okay.
Recommend the review.
I like A and B. I think, C seems like it's could go away and it would be B, or just add a line in there to B to that includes C. And D, I don't know if I was.
The example I gave for C.
The only difference is you're saying, there's already agreement in place for 20 years, whether they're connected directly to the city or they're connected to the sewer district into the city. So
I'm saying that agreement should not be in the, that provision should not be in the agreement.
Well, we still got to wait 20 years, so why don't you say?
These agreements are done every year, they're renewed.
There's
50-some agreements. When the Henderson Branch sewer is extended, if it is extended, there would be another sewer agreement with the Blue Canary Sewer District.
Okay.
I'm just saying that Midway Arms, if Midway Arms is connected directly to the city sewer, Midway Arms would be a city customer. Then the Blue Canary Sewer District is a customer.
I know that we spent a lot of time on this. And I guess my sort of takeaway concern, and quite frankly, unless I pull out all my notes from our discussions, I'll need to look and see how this draft compares to the consensus of the task force. But to put it really plainly, I think the city has a responsibility to be careful that we don't put the Boone County rural sewer district into a position of not being viable, because those people need good, high-quality sewers, too. And so, you know, we're a partner in a bigger community and metropolitan area.
Our primary obligation is to our customers.
And we should
trade we're off also again. Citizens of the county.
Well,
thank you.
I don't think we should subsidize the sewer district and not, you know, charge a
it's not a subsidization. They're providing a service as part of the overall service.
But to Bill's point, where a city customer outside of the city limits is charged 150%, whereas the Boone County Regional Sewer District outside the city limits is not charged that 150%.
They're charged 80%.
Yeah, they're charged 80%. So, I mean, to me, that seems, it's just an equity thing. Not that I agree that the people outside of the city limits should be charged 150%, but if that is the policy, then the sewer district customers that are tied to the sewer system, city sewer system, should also be charged that 150%, not the discount of 80%.
Or a cost of service, so you should look at it and explain why they feel it shouldn't be done that way. I'm just looking for a justification.
Yeah, and I like the way this is worded. It just says it should be reviewed.
I don't know if D is feasible, but it's going to stay. I mean,
I agree. I don't know if D is feasible.
It may or may not be feasible to meet. It may work in some cases, but not all. But if you can meter effectively and accurately, meter the flow. When you
can.
I think it's, if it can be done that way cost effectively, that's a much better way to determine how much is impacting, you know, the city's system.
I think so.
And to versus having individual water calculations.
Just to clarify, the 80% is what the city receives, right? The
city charges Boone County.
Right.
We should be charging them 80% of 150%. The bill is 100, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So 80% of 150%, that's 120%.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now where are we?
Just saying it seems.
Pass nine.
Yeah. Oh, yep, we are. Well, I mean, it seems kind of arbitrary. I mean, it's not arbitrary. I mean, you guys
are getting fried.
Yeah.
Argue with me, but.
I'm sorry. No,
never mind. Oh. Yada, yada, yada.
These are just issues that I think that ought to be justified or changed.
Maybe that's what the thrust ought to be.
I don't have a problem being reviewed. It should be reviewed periodically. I don't know if annually is the right frequency, but if they haven't been reviewed in a while, it's good to review your agreements to see if they're still sound.
It's been basically the same agreement since the first agreement signed 30 years ago, mm-hmm. or 25 years ago.
It hasn't been amended?
Not to
that. I would think it'd be.
I don't think there's been anything changed about that.
We did long-term. We asked them for ionized stuff now. We asked them for other things.
Yeah, they're usually relatively fluid in a long-term agreement like that. You're going to have amendments and changes throughout the term.
For certain things that come up. I mean, we have general ones for even for certain areas that don't have any. But the ones that have, we've asked for.
Has a 20% discount been reviewed?
Yeah, they just did it. They've sent you, I think he sent you a page and showing how it come out to be 20%.
I don't have any problem with the 20% discount at all. I mean, that's completely, it seems, after
for customers outside the city, though.
Well, no, I think that needs to be looked at because the whole thing with the 150% seems to me a little arbitrary, and it's stuck from an old agreement that's just been perpetuated for the past 50 years or whatever. But
so the evergreen contract, put a term on it.
Evergreen.
It's renewed annually, just evergreen. Basically, we keep renewing every year unless
we can
either party decides to disband it. Automatically renewed, in other words.
Okay. Should we power through 4 and 5 and 6? Fortunately.
Is 4 a common theme bill that you've seen that has been misapplied, or is this just in one case? I've briefly read through here, so I might not be catching it all. But
I checked 2 properties, and it was done wrong 50% of the time.
That's not a very big sample.
Yeah, it seems like one mistake.
I can't access those records.
To me, this is just saying, in my opinion, you guys messed up in this case. It's not really a recommendation based on the information I've got here.
Well, the ordinance ought to be correctly applied or amended.
And I don't even know if that's the truth. I mean, I just don't know if I even have all the information here. I mean, I'm taking you at your word on all of this.
Thank you.
Which, I mean, I have no reason to. I just. There might be extenuating things that we didn't know about.
And the ordinance is a very poorly written ordinance. It's extenuating circumstances.
Yeah. Well, then that's probably what the recommendation should focus on.
A re-review or
a review and clarification of the ordinance. And even some. Recommend some sort of mechanism or trigger to have oversight over how these are, make sure these are applied correctly.
I can provide an amendment on this.
I'm not sure that we need an amended ordinance as much as we need a recommendation to a detailed recommendation on how to review the ordinance and what the expectations are coming out of it. Like what? Well,
at least
what
state the deficiencies of the ordinance and why
right.
It needs to be rewritten.
Right. Right.
So.
Okay, and I'm trying also to figure out on 4, there's a discussion, there's a single sentence of discussion, and then there's B down here under section 22-264, connection fees. Is that B a recommendation, or is it?
That's what they're charging now.
Okay, it's part of the ordinance.
Yes.
Well, Bill, I do think that it would be great if you could look at 4 again and focus on what Greg just said. What are the
proper corrections? If you provide by the section that's recommended be applied correctly or amended, then you could say suggestions include amending these items. Versus trying to, I mean, the example is good, but the example would be completely lost.
I knew that.
Yeah.
Right, I'm afraid this detailed example would be sort of a distraction.
Especially since it lists openness and rise and specific apartment complexes.
Okay.
And it's one to one comparison. I mean, where's the sample size? It's just
right.
like
right.
it looks like this could be a mistake as opposed to a need for a whole recommendation. And I know you didn't have access to the other ones, so we don't know if it is just one mistake or inconsistently applied.
I was told it was not a mistake.
Or if it's not even a mistake, according to them, you know. So.
Right. That sort of gets back to our more global recommendations about equity and fairness and applying fees and.
And I think that's what should be stated, is the ordinance should be adjusted to bring equity to all the development. If this is an example, then one was given a light and the other one wasn't.
It needs to mirror the water system equity charge ordinance, which it does not do.
Okay, so can you work on 4, please?
Yes.
Okay.
5, what are you talking about?
5, we're looking at
that's that 150%.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. You good, John?
What's the question?
We just looked at 5. It's the 50% outside the city limits.
Plus 100% outside of the, or in another municipality.
Right.
Oh. Should be reviewed.
Okay. And then 6, the city charge residential sewer customers that are individually metered for water and do not have any means to use water outside the dwelling unit a sewer volume charge based on the customer's actual monthly water usage.
I don't mind keeping it in there. I don't think we're really achieving anything by this other than a perceived equity. I think you average the 4 winter months and you don't have a spigot outside, what's the difference?
Well, if an individually metered customer is not at home in July and doesn't use any water, doesn't discharge anything to the sewer, at the present time, they're still going to be charged based on their winter quarter average water usage, which they ought to be charged on their actual water usage. If you don't use any water, you don't discharge any sewer, you shouldn't be charged a sewer service charge.
I mean, that would be the case even if you did have an outdoor hose, right? You're still getting charged.
Well, if you got a means to use water outside of the building, then you're charged based on winter quarter average.
If you don't water your grass, you get the same charge.
But, yeah, it's hard to tell if somebody's watering grass or not.
I'm not. What if you're gone in January and water the heck out of your yard in July?
You're based on winter quarter average if you've got an individual water meter.
But you'd have almost no use in January.
Right.
Which would be your classic snowbird. Somebody left during the winter and didn't have any use to come back and water their grass in the summertime. They're going to pay a lot more for their water than somebody that lives here year round. I think you're going to have inequities like that, and to drill that down, I don't think it's going to create much revenue change or equity change, and no matter what you're going to have. I mean, it accounts for water consumption at the highest peak period because that costs the utility more money for capacity, and that's what they're trying to account for. In summer usage.
They're trying to allow outside water usage. They're trying to allow a means for somebody to use water outside their dwelling unit.
Well, I mean, there could be a feasibility that somebody could put a separate meter in on the outside and have 2 meters, just like you would for irrigation here.
Well, there'd be no need for somebody that doesn't have any outside water usage to have 2 meters.
I would be happy to have a recommendation that, that disincentivized, what's the right word for it? I'm super tired. Frivolous water use or excessive use as a sort of social policy issue, because we do have issues with water and water access.
We're not addressing water.
I'm sorry?
We're not addressing water.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're talking about sewer.
But I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think we have such a transient community that no matter what we come up with, you're going to penalize somebody. Because
right.
Some people that are gone in the winter and some people gone in the summer. And so I know that it's going to be a perfect system for everyone, but you know,
so we're not going to end up with the perfect system.
All right, so we're not done.
I was going to send one. I know this is late, but we had talked about it. And John, you had talked about, you guys were, your staff is working on a recommendation to, or a requirement, or to allow connections to city sewer that are because of regulatory compliance issues and not make those property owners annex.
Yes, it was for health reasons. It's the health department deemed it.
Where is that? What's the status of that report?
We have a fellow, Mike hadn't been in here, so.
Stephanie
and I have to sit down with him.
I wanted to make a recommendation that says the city shouldn't require annexation for connection to city sewer due to regulatory compliance requirements or health safety issues. Because right now you're forced to annex, and it just, there's a whole lot of other stuff that comes along with that.
You send me that, I'll add it to the list.
Yeah.
You know, it's just for that house.
Not for future development. I agree. Right. It should not.
If future development happens, the rest of that.
Then if they want to, yes, exactly.
Okay, so since we didn't get all the way through these, what's the strategy for getting these ready for Tuesday? For the electric and global.
Okay, on the electric, it's Bill took the opportunity to revise what I sent this morning, which I think is good. But here, real quickly, Cody, just as an eyeball, Bill, what you added is underlined.
Yes.
Okay, and so see, this here is the same as this what's in here.
My general recommendations ought to stand alone and not be included in here. General recommendations.
Okay. But then I thought on, when we did this, I thought all of these substituted for all of these.
I think he was, with on this page 4, Bill, were you just trying to cross out that whole top half and replace it with the whole underlined part?
I was trying to indicate that there was some parts page left 4. Out.
We were talking about that page, but just specifically on this page, yeah, I think you were saying get rid of this, add this.
Okay, but we've talked through these, and part of the reasons that AA through FF are different than Bill's is because we made some came to consensus on some changes. We can't just rechange them back every time.
Well, this was more of a formatting. I was going to defer on the wording because
He added the word residential example, but I thought we determined that we weren't going to make specific fee leveled recommendations and such.
Oh, definitely. I don't. Have you done that, Bill?
On page 4, on the bottom of page 4.
Well, see, that's what confused me. I thought we'd gone through there but then again, I don't want to leave anything out that's not certainly intended to be left out.
It wasn't my intention to have this add to John's.
Oh, it wasn't?
No.
We're going to come up with a single document.
What did you say?
So they will be added together.
You didn't intend it to be added?
No.
Oh, okay.
Just to point out that you left some things out.
Pardon?
Just to point out that you left some things out.
Oh, I did?
I think you did.
Okay, because I thought we went through these and...
Yes, yep.
But some of these things ought to be in the global general infrastructure recommendations.
Which I separated out and have over here. We're not discussing those.
And now,
separate, I've got that over here. We haven't talked about it.
Now, I will have to admit that...
Well, some of these things here should go in, we're in here.
They are, or they want, or you want them to be?
I think
you
want them to be, but that, okay, and I'll have to admit that when I went home last night and redid this, I did not separate them into global and financial.
So you're marking things out with your lines?
No.
Or adding them in?
Adding things that I thought...
Okay, I'm confused because...
I think this, like on this one, this up here says the same thing as this.
The whole crux of that, I think you wanted to add the third party in.
It's right here, though. I did. I went home and right there, independent third party.
Right here, and two.
Yeah, I added that.
Where are you?
I came off my notes stuff.
John and Cody developed this. I hadn't seen this before last night.
Well, he had his list of those A through D a few meetings ago.
I haven't seen this document before last night. G.
Yeah, but this recommendation has been, similar recommendation to that has been since, well, we can go back to...
Well, it's...
Whatever this document was first sent out.
I came off all the notes off of that. But it may be that we may need to brush through it again so that Bill's satisfied with what he's intending there. So, because we don't, Benson certainly is not the lead.
What's your expectation for Tuesday night? To what point do we need to be?
Well, I thought Tuesday night we would have a single document to review a final time so that it could be released for the public hearing.
This one.
That was
921, and that's the same. Separate
merge them into a single document.
And I can do this. I mean, I can.
Okay.
But it'll still contain the underlying part.
Okay.
Yeah, I think is okay.
I'll have mine done in the morning. There's not much work I've got to do.
Yes, excellent. Thank you. But just to be clear, what we looked at last night was the recommendations that Bill had distributed that you had integrated into a single document. And there were pieces that Bill wants to make sure are in or readdress with the group to come to consensus on.
Yeah. Well, like in my...
That's why I'm...
Document I had that night.
Mm-hmm.
On the electrical system connection fee, there's this mercury charge that I recommended.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we discussed that.
I remember I was asking if we included all your electric recommendations before we ended. I thought we had got them all.
What
were
we talking about? We talked about equity fee, we talked about a line.
Yeah, and we talked about that.
Extension fee.
Yes, right. And that's what Mr. Clark commented on. I think he misunderstood disagreement for not understanding.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, in any way, that's, we're not going to lose track of it. I want to go back through, Bill, and
again, these are proposed drafts.
These are proposed drafts.
Right, and we're going to take what we have at this juncture on Tuesday night and finalize it ready for the...
And then, Bill, if there's something else there that you're seeing that has been addressed, then we need to address it.
I think we've done a really nice job as a group of people with a different perspective on coming to some compromise and consensus on a great deal of this. If we want to integrate a dissenting view, much in the style of how the discussion pieces are added, that's fine. But, you know, we want to include everybody's ideas.
If you look on page three of John's recommendations that I underlined stuff on.
Yes.
Number two, the MTFI recommends the city. Then John wrote the Savage Line Extension Policy. There's no mention that I recommended the city establish electrical system connection fee or electrical system equity charge. I added that to this document.
Under 2B?
Yes.
Or not 2B?
Well, I thought that was, again...
You did not include that with your document.
Okay. That's fair.
Okay. All right, so...
You guys need
can put your heads together on getting this into a single document.
When do you make any of the minor
individuals so you can merge all four of the five of them together?
I'm going to do it on Sunday.
So by tomorrow afternoon, they need to get to you?
Yeah, or I'm not going to do it on Saturday.
Well, I'm not doing anything on Saturday either. So it's going to be tomorrow afternoon.
Okay. But if other people have other stuff to do on tomorrow, if I could have it by 8 a.m. on Sunday morning, that would be fabulous.
Just with these changes we mentioned today.
Yeah.
And you're wanting us to pull Global's out and send them to you?
Yep.
Separately?
Yeah.
Get an email?
Yep. I believe we can email each other one-to-one directly, but don't we need to send through Carol if you want to send something to the whole group. All right. Comments from public staff or task force members? All right, we're adjourned, thank you. All right, we're adjourned, thank you.